It's time for Tales of Lincoln County with your hosts, Katie Thornton and Abel Guzman from the Humane Society.
Good morning from the Humane Society and welcome to Tales of Lincoln County. And yes, that's T-A-I-L-S for all the animals in our community. I'm Katie Thornton, and with me this morning is my co-host, Abel Guzman.
Hello, hello to everybody.
How are you?
Pretty good. Not too bad. You know, the spring's coming around, so allergies come with that. You know how that
is. I know. Well, it's exciting, isn't it? We've been talking about this for a while, and just so grateful to the village for this opportunity to have this show, which will be once a month, the first Saturday of every month. So anyway, for all you listeners, I want you to know that we have some insightful conversations headed your way, expert advice, and inspiring stories and information about animal welfare and advocacy. And it's just not for our homeless animals, Abel.
No, not at all.
No, it's for all the pet owners, animal lovers, and stuff out in our community. So if you're passionate about animals and you want to learn how to make a difference in the lives of animals, then this show is for you.
Yep, you better tune in.
I know, you better tune in. Hey, well, that was pretty good, wasn't it? All right, we have a special guest with us this morning, don't we?
We do.
We do, and I'm going to pass the honors over to you for introduction.
Awesome. Well, we have here Dr. Amanda Fav is here with us today. She's going to be covering a couple of subjects with us that are very important for those who have animals. Amanda, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm a little hoarse because of also the allergies coming through, but thanks for having me here. So I'm excited you guys are doing this. I think it'll be great.
Awesome. No, we appreciate it. We appreciate you coming out here, getting some time to come out here with us. And again, this is just for the benefit of everybody who has animals. So please pay attention to what's going to be said. This is going to be very important, but fun at the same time.
It is. We're going to have educational fun, like I said, some insightful conversations. And, of course, we're going to jump in here. We have a few topics that we're just going to touch on briefly today, but several topics that we find are very important that we wanted to dive in a little bit deeper on. We're going to kick off here a second what I'm just going to call the shelter report. Abel's going to bring us a bunch of updates and stats and some fun shenanigans going on out at the shelter. The importance of spay and neuter, fostering and adoption, and then the upcoming low-cost vaccine clinics that are sponsored each year by Ruidosa Animal Clinic. And one of the big hot topics today is pet preparations for disasters. So let's get going. So tell us what's going on out at the shelter.
Yeah, so, you know, this first quarter at the Humane Society, you know, we had 202 animals come in. So there's quite a bit of animals that came in, but we had 125 adoptions and 35 animals go back to their homes. So it was actually pretty good. The outcome was pretty good on that. Now, as we know, it's springtime. What comes with springtime, Dr. Favis?
Kittens.
Kittens, right?
Kittens and puppies. They sure do.
They do. And right now we have 2 litters of puppies and a litter of kittens to start off with right off the bat.
Yes, and let me tell you, our job is never done. Those numbers will continue to increase. But I do want to give a shout out to a lot of the adopters that have come by. We started this year very heavy on animals. We had an average of about 50 animals, and that was just unprecedented for us. And our numbers are low right now. I think we have about like 15, 16 dogs. Yeah. We've got, you know, puppies back there too. Yeah. We've got some cats as well. But listen, thank you for adopting. It is a significant impact on our community, and it will be on your family as well, because all these dogs are very loving and deserve a second chance. So talking about spring, we just came through World Spay Day, and it was quite an success, wasn't it?
It definitely was. We had just about all the vets in Lincoln County participating. We had our own clinic in-house. It was a great success. How did it go with you guys, Dr. Favis?
It went great. We did cats, and it was a great success. Everyone showed up. Everyone was very appreciative, and it was wonderful to be able to provide services to people who wouldn't have been able to have it done, other words. So
absolutely,
it was great.
Absolutely, it was. Well, we probably hit a total of around 100 animals. And again, you know, all of our veterinary partners here around the community and all of the volunteers that made it happen. because it is quite a daunting task to take that on for us in-house at the shelter. And everybody showed up, and it was absolutely a great day. So, you know, if you base the average litter on five or six, I mean, that's hundreds of animals that are going to stay out of our shelter this year. And, you know, we just struggle every year with these unplanned litters. And we want to touch on this just a second. But I have people that say all the time, oops, well, it was a mistake. We didn't plan on it or whatever. Let me tell you this. If you have an unneutered animal, at some point, an accident's going to happen and those unplanned litters come along. So,
exactly. Yeah. Very true on that.
I know. It's so true. You know, we have our spay and neuter program. Abel, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so we have the spot program. It's been a great success, to be honest. It's helped out so much. And again, just about all the vets in Lincoln County participate on that. So you don't necessarily have to come into town if you live in Carrizozo, Capitan. No, you got your vets there in Carrizozo and Capitan that are participating in this. But it's been a great success. This year alone, I believe we've sold over close to 40 vouchers already. Mm-hmm. So it's been great, been really good. And we've seen the impact. We've seen how there's less and less puppies coming in on that end and kittens. So, yes, it's very beneficial. Very beneficial for those surprises that come, you know.
Please check out the information. Yes, this is a low-income, low-cost program. All of this information is on our website, hslcnm.org, under the tab Pet Resources. It gives the income scale there, any documents you need to bring in. It's so easy. You come in. It only costs you $45 out of pocket. You get your voucher. You can contact whichever veterinary clinic you have in town. Make an appointment when it's convenient. So please don't walk past this. Think about it. Look and see if you absolutely qualify.
Yes, by all means. Come on in. It only takes literally 5 to 10 minutes to figure out if you qualify or not.
It does. And just not combating the pet overpopulation. There's a lot of health benefits to having that. Would you like to speak on that?
I mean, definitely. I mean, as far as the benefits of spay and neuter, I mean, we see reductions in different types of cancers, just the wear and tear on these guys of being pregnant all the time with the male dogs. If they're neutered, they're much less likely to roam, get out, get hit by a car, get lost. I mean, it's been a godsend to the community to have these low-cost options. It's really providing an outlet for people to be able to take care of their pets.
It is.
The Humane Societies have been wonderful to work with it, so it's been great.
Well, thank you. And by no means, we're not out here to tell you how to, you know, to care for your animal, but do understand that there's health benefits to that, and they're going to live a healthier and longer life.
Definitely.
As well,
definitely.
So, yeah. And we also have our TNR program, just quickly.
Yeah, no, TNR program is for those feral cats that we have in our community, which we've seen the numbers go down on this, but again, it helps out not to have those litters of kittens. I can't tell you how many kittens we've had come in that their mom, you know, got ran over, killed, or we've had kittens come in that have been pecked by crows. You know, they've become food for predators out there. So we don't want that.
No.
We
no.
really don't.
It's a very dangerous, fearful life that these colonies live out there. And, you know, help them out. The program, again, is very simple. It only costs $30. You trap them humanely in a live animal trap. Take them straight to, again, your vet to do it. And you just come in, get a voucher. Again, make the appointment when it's convenient for you. You know, help us out with this. Help us decrease this population. You know, it makes that colony healthier. It does away with aggressive behavior, and it's a better coexistence for us because they're always going to be around here because we are in the country.
Yeah. And also, as I say, it decreases a lot of infectious diseases that can affect our owned cats. So, you know, decreasing that population and trying to keep that population healthier is a benefit to everyone out there. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Really good point.
That is a very, very, very good point. Okay, so just tipping on that, like I said, spring's in the air, so help us out. Again, all that information is on our website, RiodosaAnimalClinic.com as well. Mm-hmm. I know that they have great information for you as well. So let's move on to one of the main reasons Dr. Favis is here about their annual low-cost vaccine clinic coming up on April 12th.
Yep. So every year, and it's not just us, it's all the clinics come together in Lincoln County, and it's a really fun thing to do, and I think everyone looks forward to it. But we have almost all the clinics participate. We're going to be doing it this year on April 12th. Our clinic, the Rudess Animal Clinic, will be set up at the main fire station by the tennis courts. We'll be there from 10 to 12, and then again from 1 to 3. The Humane Society will be there at the 1 to 3 shift doing free microchips as well, which is also great. Franklin Vet Clinic will be down in the Downs from 10 to 12 and 1 to 3. I think they are requiring a pre-registration. I assume you call the office, I think, yes, for that. And then Dr. Washburn will be in Capitan from 9:30 to 2, and Dr. Cooper will be in Carrizozo from 10 to 1. But this is a great opportunity. I mean, we all know that there's been some financial struggles for a lot of us this year. So being able to get your pets vaccinated, keep them healthy. You know, we do see a lot of infectious disease in Lincoln County. We see a lot of distemper, a lot of parvo in our dogs. We're starting to see more panleukopenia in our cats. We always have upper respiratory disease in our cats. So, you know, it's important. And, you know, there's some people who think, oh, they were vaccinated once as a puppy, they're protected, or they're vaccinated once as a kitten. And unfortunately, especially with our higher levels of contagions out here, that's not true. They really do need to have routine vaccines. And, you know, as far as what pets to bring to the clinic, we're looking at healthy dogs who need their vaccines. If you've got a dog with a lot of health issues or health concerns, you know, those ones you really should get into your vet clinic and make sure the vaccination's, you know, required at that time and is the right choice for your pet. But other words, you know, get out there. Even if you have a puppy, we can at least, or a kitten, we can at least get the first vaccine on board and then counsel you about getting future vaccines. So it's a really great opportunity, and it's a nice way for the community to come together. And I know we always look forward to it. It's a fun way to get out and talk to people. So
no, definitely. I remember working for the clinic. I mean, the cost difference, really, of mm-hmm. a vaccine to treating an animal who gets parvo
is huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got some new cool ways of treating parvo, but it's expensive. It's, you know, it can be thousands of dollars if these guys get parvo, and it's just heartbreaking when you have pets come in who are sick from an entirely preventable disease. You know, if we had just gotten the vaccines on board when they were needed, you know, we shouldn't have had to put these puppies. Yeah. And it's always so sad because it's, you know, it's a puppy and or a kitten, and they haven't had a chance to live yet, and then they're coming down with these life-threatening diseases. So please bring them out. We love to see them. Make sure they're on leashes if they're dogs. Depending on where you're going, if they're aggressive, dog aggressive, keep them in your cars. Just come up, register, keep them in the car. A lot of times we can go to the car to do it. We can provide muzzles. If they're not good on a leash, I mean, every year we have somebody who brings a pet out who's not well restrained, and, you know, an owner lets them loose or they slip a collar or something like that. So we'd always rather they just stay in the car or come talk to us first, but we don't want any problems out there, and we certainly don't want any fights. Cats, make sure they're coming in kennels. Don't just carry a cat up there, especially if there's a lot of dogs around. Pillowcases, oddly enough, work great for cats. But again, you can just leave them in the car. We'll often come to the car mm-hmm. to vaccinate them or do them in some safe way. We want to keep it safe for everyone involved. But
let me point this out. Yeah. Someone was looking at me. You don't dump your cat in the pillowcase and like bring it up.
Yeah,
and
keep them in your car. Yeah, I know it sounds odd.
Well, you can gently wrap yeah. them. It's kind of like a soft portable carrier.
Yeah, and they actually, amazingly enough, they tolerate it incredibly well. But realistically, kennels can be expensive, and if you can't get one, we want to get these guys out there. But do it safely. Just don't have them. You know, we have some people just throw the cats in the car, and cats have a way of getting into some spot that you cannot find them or getting out of the car. And if you have any questions about a good way to transport them, call the Humane Society, call one of the clinics who's participating. Mm-hmm. We will happily give you suggestions. If it's a really aggressive cat, we can give you ideas. If it's a really aggressive dog, we can give you ideas as well. But we want this, again, to be safe for everybody, but we want to get the vaccines in there as well.
Absolutely. And I also see here that it's cash only.
Cash only. I know that's for our clinic. And Dr. Franklin, I'm sure it's for all the clinics involved. Cash only. I know for our clinic, we always use the funds for our animal welfare fund. So all of our proceeds go towards that, which has been super beneficial, like post-fire events and other such things of being able to help treat pets in need. So, but yes, make sure to bring cash. All the clinics, the pricing structure is a little different just depending on what vaccines we're carrying. And I know we'll have the two core vaccines for dogs at our clinic and the two core vaccines for cats, and then we'll also have canine kennel call for Bordetella. But it'll probably be a little different between which one you're going to. So if you have any question, just call the clinic that you plan on attending their vaccine clinic for. They can give you prices. That way you're prepared, but you do not bring checks. Don't bring a credit card because it won't work.
Well, that and it plus it helps you deal with the volume of people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot faster. Faster and quicker. So, again, that's on April 12th. Ridosa Animal Clinic will be at the Ridosa Fire Station over by the tennis court swimming pool. We have Franklin participating, Dr. Becky Washburn up in Capitan, and then you said Dr. Cooper would be out in Carrizozo. So please be proactive with your vaccines and your fur babies.
Yeah.
And let's get out and get that taken care of. And it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah. So. And don't forget microchipping.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's so important. We're going to be touching a little bit on that under the emergency preparedness, but microchipping is so helpful in many ways.
And especially when these pets are slipping their collars and have no ID. And during the fires, having a microchip and some permanent ID, it's huge.
Yes.
It is very important. And, of course, we live in the mountains. It, you know, we always have those wind days, et cetera. And we end up, I promise you, with animals on these heavy wind days that we have had in the past. And sure, we will have a few more this spring. They end up at the shelter because a gate blew open, something blew down, something wasn't paying attention, car door was left open. Yeah. And listen, it's free with us. It's been free with us for months. We still have hundreds of them to go. It's free. Even though we did offer it at a low cost, that's about a $35 savings. And you don't need an appointment. If you can't make this clinic, but please try to do so. But if out at the shelter, you don't need an appointment to come out, you just come in. It's about a 15-minute, you know, process is all. It's a non-invasive, doesn't hurt your pet or whatever, little bitty, probably about the size of a
rice grain.
Yeah, rice grain. There you go. And it's, like I said, it's non-invasive. And please, please do that. And it's very easy. You just set up an account and put your information in there. You know, the first thing anybody does, especially our animal control officers, they'll scan and that your dog will end up or your cat will end up straight home instead of coming to us, going through the process out at the shelter.
Exactly.
So do that. Well, next topic we're going to move on to that we want to dive into a little bit is about emergency preparedness for pet owners. Some of you might be thinking, why do I need to do this? Well, I think a lot of us learned some lessons from last year, unfortunately. Yep. Abel can really speak first person to all of this. So let's talk about that. We have brochures we're going to go over with you. I'll follow back up about where you can find these or find them online. But let's kick it off, Abel. Why is it important to have a plan?
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, when the fire started, I don't think anybody was thinking about evacuation. And I know our family wasn't, but a lot of these people didn't think about their animals. You know, the scenario of having to get their animals out of the house, trying to get them. A lot of animals weren't able to go be evacuated with their owners. And we had a lot of animals show up at the shelter because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, thankfully, the majority of them went back to their homes, you know, but having this emergency preparedness and including your animals in it is so important. And Dr. Favis can tell you firsthand as to why. She treated a couple of animals that unfortunately got caught in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be going over, six important tips, really easy tips, you know, that we can make sure it's a part of our evacuation plan that can help out all the family. Which includes the animals.
That's right. That's right. So one of the important things that I'd never thought about on this list is before you kind of get, you know, your emergency little evacuation kit and stuff ready to go is if it's an emergency, there's chaos going, a lot of animals run and hide. And that was a big problem last year. Animals were hiding. They were trying to leave. They needed to leave immediately and couldn't find the animals. So we've learned one of the big steps is know where your animals, let's say their little safe spot, where do they go? Or if they get in trouble or they didn't get a treat or whatever, they go hide out or whatever.
Yeah. Or a cat, you know, cats usually go under the bed. Which is the bed they go under?
If you have a 5-bedroom house, that will be time consuming. So Know your pet's behavior and their routine, and know that safe spot that they will typically run to and hide. So if you do have to evacuate, you don't lose critical time.
Yeah.
Maybe even on some of these red flag days and stuff like that, if you have an indoor-outdoor cat, those are good days to keep them inside.
Yeah, true.
You know, just being a little proactive about things so that, I mean, cats notoriously are the worst. I mean, they take off if they're scared, and you're not going to find them again, and you don't want to waste valuable time trying to find a cat when you could be getting somewhere safe.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
And then we recommend that you kind of build a, I don't know, like a, you know, kit, bag, whatever for your animal, and kind of have some of the basic supplies in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay? Food, you know. Have some water ready to go, a bowl for food and water, you know, a little blanket in there, you know, all those little things that they're going to need just for everyday things, you know, for the animals.
Yeah, just you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Extra leashes.
Extra leashes. Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
And then also, if your animal just like you, if you're on medication, have medication available, and then their medical records. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't, you know, tag their dogs, et cetera. So have those medical records so that you can verify that, you know, they are up to date on their vaccines. And, you know, another thing to do is possibly, like, have a contact list for local veterinarians or pet care organizations or even, like, the shelter.
Yeah.
I mean, we are there to try to help out, but you need to be prepared, you know, in case we have to evacuate, which we did last year.
Yeah.
And the Red Cross, for all that they do, you need to understand that in their evacuation centers, they don't allow animals.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, I know Dr. Pfaff mentioned earlier about the expense of a kennel, but if you do have a kennel, you know, that is another item to get prepared and ready to go.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard. I had one just because I spent years in Florida, and with hurricanes and stuff, evacuate with your animals is important. So, you know, I have my suitcase. She has her bag, and it's ready to go, you know, as we speak, and it's just a grab-and-go scenario.
Yeah.
So please remember that. The other thing I wanted to throw out here is all this information is on our website, hslcnm.org, under pet resources, and it under the tab, you know, preparedness for disasters. And we have a brochure that is bilingual, English and Spanish, on there. Then we also have a beautiful brochure that was developed by the emergency department here at the village. And one of the things on their brochure is a QR code. And if you didn't do this last year, please do it now. You can go on the website, the village website, and you scan that QR code, and you sign up for free voice and text alerts for emergencies in our area. So you're constantly kept update on what's going on. You simply register with your name, your phone number. Do you want text? Do you want voice, you know, messages or whatever? So please, if you haven't done that, do that today. That is very important as well. So we went over some great items here. So there's kind of three things. Be informed, like I just spoke about. Build your kit. Have your kit ready for your animal. And then make a plan. What you're going to do, where you're going to go. As we spoke, evacuation centers, unfortunately, won't take animals.
Yeah.
We learned last year with all the evacuations that a lot of the places in the surrounding area didn't take animals. The ones that did were filling up quickly. And here shortly on the website, we are going to actually provide a list of some of our, you know, surrounding towns, the different hotels there that do accept animals. And that's something that is, I have this little list in that spot. So if needed, you know, can call and to try to make a reservation on that. So
that's really important.
It is.
It's really important. But microchipping. Guys.
I'm telling you.
I want to say 85 animals that came in. There was probably just 20 of them that had microchips.
And keep your microchip information current, because that's another frustrating thing, is it's so sad when you have a pet come in with a chip and you know it's got an owner, but the phone numbers on the associated with the chip or the address don't work anymore. So especially when you're thinking of your emergency kit, call, make sure that your chip information is current, and you've got to, you know, if they can't reach you, a friend or a family member that they can reach to provide safe haven for the pets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, that's really, really important. A lot of good information today. Thank you guys both for sharing all of that. And please put it on your calendar for the 12th. Get out there. Keep your fur babies safe with these vaccines. And again, the Humane Society will be joining Redosa Animal Clinic at the fire station, giving away free microchips. For some reason, if you can't do that, they are still available to you at the shelter at any time. So the other thing I just want to throw out there is we have a fun upcoming event at the resale store. And resale shop's very important to us.
It is. It's a big part of the Humane Society.
It is a big part of that. And it's Sales for Tails. And we have to brag about them because they do a great job. We have to thank the community for all that they do, whether they come and purchase or donate or volunteer. We have a lot of volunteers out there as well. We appreciate it. The resale shop puts in about 60%, right?
Yeah.
About 60%
yeah.
of our operational budget. Yeah. So they absolutely keep us going out there. We recently got a new used truck.
Yep.
We call it the truck.
Yeah,
the truck. And we offer free large item pickup.
Yep, we'll pick it up. If it's a big item, give us a call, put you on the schedule, we'll pick it up. And, you know, it's springtime. Everybody's doing spring cleaning, you know. Give us a call.
Yeah, absolutely. We will take anything. And again, all this information is on our website. A lot of this we do put on our Facebook. So follow us on Facebook. It has a lot faster pace than the website does. You know, we are so busy out there and we have stuff going on every day that gets posted on there. And if you do go to the website, we ask for your patience because it's under construction. We're very excited that we're going to be launching a new website probably in the next month or so, and it's going to be a more informative, inviting kind of current concept, you know, and we look forward to this and being able to actually add more and more information on there for everybody. So do that. So I want to thank Dr. Favis for joining us today.
Thank you.
We always appreciate you and everything that you do. So it's coming to the end, but we're excited about this first episode.
Yes.
But we already have plans for the next one, don't we?
We do.
I know. You
we
want to tell
do.
Us what's going on there?
Next episode, you know, we're going to have another special guest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be one of our own animal controls from here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the name just yet.
No. Alice, don't give him a big head or whatever. I know. Yeah, our ARO. I remember when I first started out the shelter, I'm like, what is an AR, an animal control officer?
Yeah.
And listen, these men and women are so important to our community. They do a lot of things that help keep our community safe, and in what they do daily saves lives.
Yeah.
So we look forward to doing that. And also, we're going to have another guest on with us that's a volunteer, because, you know, the volunteer is the backbone of our organization.
Oh, yes, definitely. Without them, a lot of things wouldn't happen.
No, and one of the things that they do is they just come in and love on the animals. You know, we stay very busy. You know, the staff is looking, you know, after, you know, their general care and well-being. And so sometimes that time is limited just to interact with the animals. So the volunteers come in and they cuddle cats and they walk dogs. And it's so important, you know, the socialization process of the animals out there, because so many come in that, you know, just came from bad circumstances. They're just strays. And, you know, developing, you know, an understanding and trusting human contact again is very important. And without these volunteers, I don't know what we would do, because they have helped us over the year, thousands of adoptions.
Oh, yes.
We have a new volunteer here, and it was very interesting. Moved here, new to the area, and how much it's brought to him personally versus just what he's given back to all of our animals. So we really look forward to doing that. But before we close out, we got to say thanks to the village, right?
Oh, definitely.
I'm telling you, it's just been such an opportunity to kind of share our insights for animal welfare and, you know, to get this information out to the community. Yes, we do what we do at the shelter, but we do a lot more. And we couldn't do what we do for the homeless animals without our community. So we always looking for ways to give back, to educate, to help you advocate for your animals. And we're just so thankful for this platform to do that. But, you know, together we can create even more humane opportunities and advocacy and, you know, kind of cultivating a kinder, more compassionate and generous community and future for all of us. So anyway, shouts out to them. We can't thank you enough. Again, thank you both. It's been a great morning, but I always have one last statement. Do you know what that is?
What is that,
Connie? Adopt, don't shop.
Shop.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tales of Lincoln County with Kitey Thornton and Abel Guzman on KRUI 1490 AM and 99.1 FM, The Mountain.